In the name of Jesus, I just thank you for truly your words are spirit in their life, Father. I ask you to just take these words that you've given me today, Father, that they would just minister to hearts and encourage hearts and strengthen hearts. I thank you for what you're going to do. I give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Praise God. You know, when I was kind of questioning what the Lord would have me speak on today, I thought, well, Lord, I've kind of shared some of this stuff a little bit before. And, you know, I've kind of gotten to the point where I quit questioning God when he gives you something. Because, you know, I came in this morning and we started talking about, about different things and back in the Sunday school class. And we were talking about even when the COVID was going on about people hoarding toilet paper and all kind of stuff like that, you know, because people get worried about all that kind of stuff. And, we started talking about a lot of different things. And the title to my sermon today is, Can I Thank and Praise the Lord? And, you know, we were talking about giving God thanksgiving, and all of the music today went toward in the direction of praise. And my first scripture here is Psalm 107, 1 through 9. And it says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I'm going to pause right there. You need to say so every day. Not just once, but you need to say so every day. And I'm going to read that again, and then we'll go on. It says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the land of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way. And there's only one way. You know, I've heard a lot of people, I think there's a couple preachers there's at least one on television that I've heard there's been a little controversy, and a couple different people say, well, it doesn't make no difference how you come to the Lord. There's a lot of different ways. No, there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. There is no other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved. There's only one way. And if you want to know that way, you have to learn to know him, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And when he said he was the way, the truth, and the life, there is no other way. There is no other truth. And there is no other life. Amen. I got news for you. And I don't care what philosophy people try to put out there. That's the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it says, And I gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And they wandered in the wilderness in solitary way. They found no city to dwell therein. You know, a lot of times we're always looking for some place to dwell. But I got news for you. You are the city of God. Amen. Jesus said a city set on a hill can't be hid. And he said we're to let our light shine so that men would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And I got news for you. You are that city. If you're looking for a city, some place to dwell, then you're looking in the wrong direction. Because you are that city. You are his dwelling place. And it goes on and it says, They wandered in the wilderness in solitary. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. When they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way. Like I say, there's only one way. He's the right way. And that they might go to the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Yes. for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the longing soul, the hungry soul, with goodness. Now I'm going to read that to you out of the Message, and I like the Message. You know, the Message is kind of a neat Bible because it just kind of puts stuff about as plain as you can put it, you know. And it says, oh, thank God, he is good. His love never runs out. And you know what? His love is limitless. It never runs out. All of you set free by God, tell the world. Tell the world he set you free. Tell the world he set them free too, whether they know it or not. Tell how he freed you from oppression, then rounded you up from all the other places, from the four winds and the seven seas. Some of you wandered for years in the desert looking but not finding a good place to live, half starved and parched with thirst, staggering and stumbling on the brink of exhaustion. Then in your desperate condition you called out to God. He got you out in nick of time. He put your feet on a wonderful road and took you straight to a good place to live. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his mercy, his miracle mercy to the children he loves. He poured great draughts of water down parched throats. Parched throats of the starved and the hungry got plenty to eat. And the next scripture I had written down here is Psalm 66, 8 through 12. It says, bless our God, O people. Give him a thunderous welcome. Didn't he set us on the road of life? Don't he keep us out of the ditch? You ever feel like you've run off into the ditch? Well, you better start praising the Lord, because he can get you right out of the ditch. He trained us first, passed us like silver through the refining fires. He brought us into the hand-scrabbled country, pushed us to our limit. And you know, Debbie, he's pushing you to the limit. But let me tell you what, when you get to the limit, you're going to find a greater presence, a greater anointing, a greater a fulfillment in God, if you'll just put praise him in the midst of all of it. Road tested us inside and out. You feel like you're being road tested inside and out sometimes? He's road testing you. And not to see what you'll do, but he's road testing you to show you what he'll do if you'll trust him. And he road tested us inside and out and took us to hell and back. And sometimes we feel like we've been there. Finally, he brought us to this well-watered place. You know, this little story I'm going to read you here. Years ago, when the settlers wanted to go west, you know, they were always looking for a better land and a place where they could settle and start new lives and so on and so forth. And this little story deals with that. It said, part of the pioneers on the Oregon Trail suffered for weeks from a scarcity of water and grass for their animals. Most of the wagons had broken down, causing endless delays in the stifling heat. A feeling of fretfulness and futility prevailed. Optimism and cheer were gone. Courage was in limited supply. One night, the leader called a meeting to air the complaints. In other words, he said, let's get together and have a gripe session. And you know, it's not hard to find people that are willing to get together to have a gripe session. It's a little harder to find people that are willing to get together and praise the Lord. And when they gathered around the campfire, one man stood up and said, before we commence our grief session, don't you think we should at least first thank God that he has brought us this far? no loss of life, no serious trouble from the Indians, and we have enough strength left to finish our journey. Now, wait a minute, what happened there? There was a paradigm switch here. Instead of a gripe session, it turned into something, we're going to begin to thank God for what He has taken us through and where we are and what is going to happen if we'll just trust Him. It said, the other settlers agreed. After a brief prayer, all that could be heard were the cries of a distant pack of wolves. There was otherwise stone silence around the campfire because no one had any grievances. They felt they were important enough, that were important enough to voice. Then suddenly realized if they could be satisfied with what they had already received, they could at least be thankful for what they had escaped. Thankfulness enabled them to see the mercies of God they had been overlooking. Wow. We all need to get there, folks. We all need to say, I don't care what situation you're in today, there's people in worse situations than you. And if you'll begin to thank the Lord for His presence, His anointing in your life, you'll begin to see things with an entirely different attitude. Philippians 2:12 through 16 says this, and this is Paul talking. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have not always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what does he mean, work out your own salvation? I thought Jesus did it all on Calvary. Well, he did. He worked it all in you. Now you have to begin to work it out of you. And if you don't begin to start lifting up the Lord in situations and in circumstances, you won't experience what he's worked in you. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, here's what you need to do. Do all things. How many is all things? It's all things. That ain't a few things. That ain't some things. That ain't sometimes. That's all the time. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine forth as lights in the world. You know that song we used to sing? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You know. You know what? We can choose to let it shine, or we can choose to hold it under a bushel. And if we hold it under a bushel, we'll be grumbling, mumbling, and complaining about everything that God hasn't done for us, rather than thanking Him for what He has done for us. You know, there's people out there living under a bridge who've got no place to go. There's people out there that have no food. And you know, if God's given us a nice warm place to live, and He's given us all the food we need to eat, and He's given us loved ones and people to take care of us or whatever, what are we complaining about? What are we complaining about? Shouldn't we be praising Him? Shouldn't we be thanking Him for what He's already given us and where we are right now? Praise God. Now, I'm not trying to get on you. I'm trying to just tell you like it is, you know? Praise God. And I'm going to read that to you again. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine forth as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. He is the word of life. Hold it forth. Acknowledge it. Claim it. Praise it. That's who He is. And Paul went on to say that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain. And I'm going to read you this poem, and I didn't write this poem, but I love this poem. It's a great poem. And this poem says, praise him when the sun is shining, when the winds of trouble blow, when you see no silver lining on the clouds that hang so low. Praise him. Praise illuminates clouds of sorrow, turns the gray skies into gold, giving promise of tomorrow, bright with his blessing manifold. Praise him when the load is heavy and the day no comfort brings. When your burden God will carry, bear you up on eagle's wings. God delights to have us praise him and believe his holy word. He knoweth them that trust him, for they will always praise the Lord. You know, the name of this church is Wings Christian Fellowship. We used to sing, rise and soar into the sunlight rays, using what? Both your wings of what? Prayer and praise. A lot of times we do a lot of praying, but not much praising. You know, oh God, I just wish you'd change my situation to my circumstances. Oh God, I wish you'd give me this. Oh God, I wish you'd change that person over there, or this person over here, or this situation over here, or this situation over there, rather than praising him. Oh God, I'm going to praise you. You're in control. I'm going to lift both of these wings of prayer and praise. I'm going to pray for those that despitefully use you. I'm going to pray for those that disagree with you. I'm going to pray for those that treat me badly or try to treat me badly. And watch and see what God does. He'll start doing a miraculous thing if you'll but praise him. You know, so many times, I've told you the story, and I'll just reiterate it. I worked for a guy that knew how to push every button in me that was in me, and he pushed them daily, every day. I'm not talking about my brother. This is where I worked somewhere else. Brother was pretty good at pushing them once in a while, too. But this guy, he was an umpire. And you know what the attitude an umpire has? They're never wrong. They're always right. When they make a call, they're not wrong. No matter what you say, you ain't going to win the argument. Now, they did start having instant replays in sports some, so that they could go back and see if the umpire called it right. But I'm going to tell you what, every time that they change his call, it probably sticks a knife in his ego a little bit. Because to be a really staunch umpire, you got to think that when you make a call, it's the right call, no matter what, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, that was the kind of guy that I worked for. And I've always been the kind of person that if something was going wrong, you know, and there was something wrong with parts that happened to flow through my operation, rather than me going ahead and working on that part and adding more money into the cost of that part, I would take it back to the boss and I would say, hey, this dimension right here is off, you know, because I knew enough about what was going on to tell if something was right when I was working on it before I started working on it. And his reaction was to grab the print out of my hand, take the part, throw it in the floor, and go off cussing. Well, my reaction was to want to punch him right square in the nose and knock him in the floor. But the Lord wouldn't let me do that. And I would pray and say, Lord, please change Bill. Please change Bill. And you know what? The Lord never changed Bill. I worked with Bill for quite a few years, and finally, I after a bunch of years, I finally bid out of his department because I thought, man, I got to get away from this guy because, you know, me and him are going to roll around the floor before it's all over with, because he just had the ability to push the buttons in me. I don't like when people are rude to me, and I don't like when people, you know, give you that real harsh reaction. I'm not crazy about it, and I'm admitting a fault here. I don't like it when somebody does that. And you know what? God never changed Bill. I've been out of that department. Then they came to me one time, and I told them, I said, I'd like to learn to run some CNC machinery too, you know, to get updated and into things that I could do. Well, I had seniority over anybody that tried to bid on that job, so they had to give it to me, and they didn't want to. And I went over there, and nobody had been able to run this machine other than the guy who was operating it. And it was because the guy who was operating it didn't really want to tell everybody how to do it. Well, when I got over there, the Lord gave me enough sense to know that when he was doing something, I'd make him stop. And I'd say, why did you just do what you did? And I'd make him explain it to me. And I wrote this down, the things that he did and why he did it, you know. So I was only with him for about maybe 3 or 4 days, and this machine was very hard to run. Everybody they kept putting over there couldn't run that machine. Well, I went on the night shift, and I ran the machine for a couple of weeks. Well, I was only going to be on there just for a couple of weeks to get them out of the hole, and then I was going to go back to my other job. But I wanted to learn more things. And anyway, so when they put me on the night shift, they didn't have a night shift foreman. But when I went on the night shift, all of a sudden, we had a night shift foreman, and it was Bill. So I had to deal with Bill all over again, you know. But what I learned in the process, what I learned in the process was, all them times that I'd pray for Bill, God changed Bill, God changed Bill. He didn't change Bill, he changed me. Bill could no longer push my buttons. And what ended up happening eventually was Bill retired, and I got Bill's job. But I'm just telling you, don't be surprised when things are going wrong, when it seems like you think, oh my God, what else can go wrong? Something else God wants to let happen. Something else. And I tell you what, when you eventually start saying praise the Lord, and start praising him right in the middle of these situations and right in the middle of these circumstances, and don't let the circumstance defeat you. We are victorious. We shall overcome. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, God's Son. Heirs of the kingdom. We're all of those things. But we have to begin to claim our inheritance. If we don't claim our inheritance, if we let the outside situations and circumstances defeat us all the time by making us grumble and complain and everything else, then you know what? Then we're not a conqueror. Not because he hasn't conquered the situation for us, but because we have let it defeat us. We've tried to conquer it ourselves. And you know what? If you could conquer it yourself, you wouldn't need him. But you do need him. He is your ever-present help in time of need. He is your peace. He is your all in all. He is your source. He's everything that you need. And if you'll but trust him, he will meet your every need. Now, like I say, that's all I had to share with you today. But I'm going to read you that poem one more time. I like that poem. Praise him when the sun is shining, when the winds of trouble blow. When you see no silver lining on the clouds that hang so low. Praise illumines the clouds of sorrow, turns the gray skies into gold. Gives promise of tomorrow, bright with his blessings manifold. Praise him when your load is heavy and the day no comfort brings. When your burden God will carry, bear you up on eagle's wings. God delights to have us praise him and believe his holy word. And we know then that trust him, for they will always praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, if you'll but praise him. And you know what the scripture says? Praise is the what of your lips? You know, you all know what that meant? It's the fruit of your lips. We've been called to be a fruitful people. We've been called to be a people that are abundantly fruitful. You know, in the Old Testament, when Joseph was down in Egypt, and they were getting ready, he was getting ready to die, and his name had been changed from Joseph to Israel. And when he was getting ready to die, and this is when Jacob was getting ready to die. Joseph brought his two sons before his father, Jacob. And he said, "Father, I've got my two sons here. I want you to give them a blessing," because he knew that his father was a prophet. And it says that Jacob's eyes were dim for old age. He couldn't see. And Joseph was real careful. And people in the natural are real careful to make it go just the way the order's supposed to be. Let me tell you what, God don't work by your order. He works by His order. And what did He do? He puts the oldest one on his, lines him up with his father's right hand. And you know, the second born son, he puts him on father's left hand. So what does Jacob do, or Israel? It says Jacob's eyes were dim for old age, but Israel beheld him. And Israel's literal name, if you look it up in Strong's and you follow it through a little bit, it means he shall rule as God. And I'm going to tell you what, when he rules as God, he don't make no mistakes. And he puts his right hand over on the youngest son and his left hand over on the oldest son. Well, Joseph steps up and says, "Oh, not so, Father, not so. You got it all wrong. You know, you're giving the right hand blessing to the wrong one. If you got the right hand blessing, then you are going to inherit everything. You are going to get the very best that the father had." And he said, not so, Father. You got it wrong, basically, and I'm paraphrasing that. And he said, I know it. And he blessed Ephraim with the greater blessing. And Ephraim's name means double fruited. And Manasseh's name meant causing to forget. Forgetting those things which are behind, we do what? We press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. In Romans 8 chapter, it says he was the firstborn, Jesus, among many brethren. Then Jesus also said, "Father, the glory that you've given to me, what? I've given it to them." Who's them? Hello, them. That's you. But I'm going to tell you what. If you don't let praise be the fruit of your lips, you're walking less than your inheritance. You're receiving less than your inheritance. You're receiving a lot less than what the Father has. He has a double portion for you. And that double portion is His presence. You know, he appeared unto Abraham as El Shaddai, the large-breasted one, the God Almighty, the irresistible nature of God. And I'm going to tell you what, when He appears in that form to anybody, you can't resist Him. He's the irresistible God. He's the large-breasted one. And you know what He wants to do is pull you right up into His bosom and just love you. Okay? And you know what? He told Abraham, he said, you know, he told him about his descendants would be like the stars and like the sand on the seashore, so many, and stuff like that. But then he also told Abram, his name was Abram then, he changed his name to Abraham. But he also told him there, he said, "I am thy exceeding great reward." He's the great reward. And I'm going to tell you what, when you praise Him, He inhabits the praises of His saints. He is your reward. His presence will grow stronger and stronger and stronger in your life the more you praise Him. And I'm going to tell you what, just like that scripture about do all things without murmuring, disputings, that you may be harmless and blameless as sons of God amidst a crooked and perverse nation to whom you shine forth as lights in the world, the light of God will begin to emanate through you. You'll find when you're out walking in Kroger's or anywhere you're at, you'll notice people are looking at you. And they don't know why they're looking at you. I mean, I'm talking about people who don't know you from anybody else. They will be attracted to you. They will look, they'll know that there's something different about you when you walk past them. And I'm going to tell you what, the day is coming when they're going to come up and they're going to ask you, why are you so different? What's going on with you? And you know what? You're going to begin to tell them about the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living, and you're going to set them free. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. And if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. And if anybody'd like prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. Continue to remember Brenda, because she said, she had told me the other day, she had texted us the other day and said she was really glad we were getting back together at church. She had really missed everybody and everything, you know. Well, then she got sick, so she couldn't be here today. So she's been sick for a couple of days. Continue to remember her in your prayer. And if you think about it, send her a text or something and tell her that you love her and you're praying for her. And Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I ask you to just bless your people. Father, help us. And when I preach to these folks, Father, I'm preaching to myself too. Because sometimes I find myself in the mully grubs. I find myself, all of the things that go on in you go on in me too. But I'm just telling you what, I know that this is the answer. I know that his praise, if we will but praise him, that it'll open doors of his glory and his forgiveness and his anointing in our lives. And Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to bless your people. I ask you that they would go forth and be a blessing to somebody tomorrow or even today. And that, Father, that dual portion would begin to come up, rise up within their heart, that double portion ministry even. Jesus said, these works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. And Father, we desire to even begin to start seeing the greater works, not for work's sake, but for your glory's sake, that your glory might be seen in the earth. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you all the honor. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all.